Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Henry Robertson. Henry is the owner of Henry's Olives, and Henry makes artisan-style olives, hand-cured in small batches, and he makes them right here in Humboldt County. Henry, you've been making olives since 1993, and I think people in Humboldt have come a long way in their ability to appreciate olives since you've been around, because back in 1993, I was probably still eating the little black ones that you put on your fingers at Christmas time. Do you think people are getting more of an appreciation of more types of flavors of olives?
I do see that. Still, to this day, the lemon garlic, the yellow label jar, outsells everything else. And it's the mildest one. We call it our gateway olive because people that don't like olives always seem to like it. And I tell them after they taste it that it'll lead to harder usage.
And you'll move them up.
And I see that happen. I can't give them a Kalamata right away, or that might just totally scare them away from the whole thing. But I do see they finally start liking brine-cured olives, things that have a little bitter edge maybe to them, or a real intense flavor.
I think the very first Kalamata olive I ate, it probably took me an hour to eat it. It was just so intense, and I'd never experienced. I thought a black olive, you know, it was Kalamata, and it was dark,
right.
And I thought it was going to be very similar, and it was just so impossible. And now I could just sit down with a cup of them and eat them.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how your tastes change.
I have made the mistake with people before of giving them a Kalamata right after that, and that ended it.
Too much.
too much. Too soon. But it goes the same for me, too. I mean, I loved all those jarred olives are pretty much milder. And now I really go for the more Mediterranean style that are brine cured, and they often have a little bitter edge, and they're just much more intense. Some of them are fermented, so you get that fermentation flavor there, too, and that intensity.
Now, one of the questions I think you're probably asked quite a bit is, where do you grow your olives? I mean, I think people assume because you're producing them in Humboldt County that you're growing your olives.
And I can't imagine having that as part of the whole business.
It's enough.
It's totally enough.
Yeah.
It's enough wrangling olives from growers to get them to my shop. I do not grow any olives. I have three olive trees, which are in pots. One's a bonsai and two are in front of my doors. And they don't produce anything in Humboldt County. But olives can be produced in Humboldt County. Willow Creek, that area, and southern Humboldt. A lot of people have put in oil olives in southern Humboldt as well as the Willow Creek area. And I do get some olives from Gwinnett Vineyards. Sharon and David have a little over 100 trees, oil varieties, Italian oil varieties. And I've been curing those since the first olives came on the trees. The first time we cured them was 2/3 of a gallon.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
It was great fun. You know, it was very easy.
It's a specialty item.
A specialty item. And now, the last couple of years, we did about 17 5-gallon buckets.
Oh, okay.
And this year, their crop is huge. And it's the first year that oil is going to be made from them. The Winnetts bought a press last year.
Okay. There's a lot of things can affect an artisan product like yours. I'm thinking, just what are the olives like from year to year? What's the weather like? What's the soil where they're grown? Just a lot of different factors. How is that in trying to make a semi-consistent product?
It's a dance.
It is.
You know, it's always, that's a big concern every year. This time of year, I get a little stressed out because I have one main producer in Orland, and this year there's been some issues with the olives. Fruit set has been much lighter. I've been told by other growers too that it's just not a good year for olives over there, and I'm not sure exactly why. We are seeing global warming trends, and that's affected the valley, and California's been in a drought situation for several years. That doesn't help the size production olives like water to size up, for table olives especially. And there is a pest, one major pest for olives, they call it simply the olive fly, and it has really devastated certain areas of Northern California.
Mm-hmm. And I think when olives don't meet your standards, I mean, you don't have a huge factory where you've got air blowing out the ones that aren't, you know, the right ones. There's a lot of handwork in the work that you do.
Yeah.
It's all handwork.
Yeah. Olives, whether they have an olive fly in them or for some other reason, wind damage, we try to present olives that look nice as well. People like to pick something up and, you know, not be grossed out about it.
You know? Of course.
So we do our very best to, you know, put out a good product. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of hand sorting when there are issues.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I feel like I've seen every olive that goes through the
place. I've seen you at work, and I think sometimes you've handled every olive at least once.
Yeah. If I don't see it, there's the last chance is when they're getting jarred up, uh-huh. and whoever's doing the jarring, my wife or someone else, uh-huh. they see it at that point because every olive's going right in front of their eyes going in that jar.
Right.
So a few get pulled out then.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to have, you know, kind of a more hand operation than something that a machine is doing.
Yeah.
You've got a set of eyes on it at each stage of the process to make sure that you're getting a quality product into your containers. And you know, I think another thing I think people don't realize about a small operation like yours is the amount of physical work, because olives weigh a lot, and olives, you know, when they're curing, you know, they're in containers that weigh a lot, and you sometimes have them stacked like five levels high.
Individually, they don't weigh very much, but oftentimes they come delivered in 40 to 60 pound boxes, and as we're getting older, we're putting less in the boxes. Both my main grower and myself. Uh-huh. So it's a little easier, and those have to get dumped into a vat or into a bucket. Uh-huh. And if I do a full vat, I only do 500 pounds in a vat. That's 25-gallon buckets. So you're handling that weight so many times. By the end of that cycle of that 500 pounds, you've probably moved 4 tons.
Uh-huh. No need to go to the gym. Okay. So I see you at a lot of the farmers markets, and it seems like that's a great way to introduce people to your product and to you, because they get to meet the person who's curing the olives each and every time you're out there. It seems like you've met a lot of people, you've become friends with a lot of people through your olive business.
I don't always remember people's names, uh-huh. but faces I do. And the markets are a great way to demo stuff. So I don't usually bother to demo in stores because I'm out there in the public all the time, at least 2 days a week, hawking olives, and I always have samples. You know, some years there's a shortage of olives, or it's at least getting them to me, I feel like I'm not getting enough olives because I'm running a business and my business's bottom line is to make money. I'll do other things. I started doing sauerkraut. I have a fig balsamic sauce, and I do preserved lemons. And all those were kind of natural progressions. I use lemons in my products, so lemons were around. And the balsamic vinegar is the only product I have besides herbs and spices that is not domestic, that is not Northern California even.
Mm-hmm. So you really try to source locally.
I do.
And you have with your sauerkraut.
All the batches of sauerkraut I've made have been either Eureka Arcata grown or Willow Creek grown.
Mm-hmm.
We have great producers of cabbage and greens and so many good things here.
Right. And I've seen you pick the lemons off your tree for some of your products.
We do. Sometimes we do Meyer lemon infused oil. We have 3 big trees on the south side of our house, and they produce so incredibly well. And a few olives, too.
Okay. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Henry Robertson, owner of Henry's Olives. Thank you so much, Henry.
Yahoo!
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.